The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, good morning to Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin.
Good morning, Pat.
You're going to talk to us about the science behind the four-day week, whether it's good or bad for everybody involved. But first of all, Listeria, Listeriosis.
Yes, yeah, there's an outbreak, Pat, isn't there? It's strange. Mm. Yeah, I worked on this bacteria myself about 20-odd years ago. You know, it can be serious, especially with pregnant women, by the way. They're the ones we really worry about. If they get infected, you can have a miscarriage, you can have a stillborn. So they're the ones that need to be especially
careful.
Where
does it lurk?
It lurks at food, usually. People pick it up. Soft cheeses was always the place I saw it in. You know, like camembert and these kinds.
Yeah, but how does it get into it? Do you know what
it spreads.
Eggs and soft cheeses we're warned about, but the egg is in a shell.
It is in a shell, that's true. But if you get in, it comes out of the, you know, in various liquids from the body, you can spread that way. So, for example, through the sewage system, for instance. How it gets into eggs, it could be on the surface of the egg, remember, growing there. It doesn't have to be inside the egg. But various foodstuffs can pick it up, and it seems as if it's gone into these ready-made dinners, isn't it? Now, remember, you can cook it, Pat. If you heat food up, it dies.
Yeah.
So I wonder what's happened here in a way. And sadly, somebody's died. You'd love to know what they had. If you're immunosuppressed, or you have certain conditions, you're more at risk of it.
But what do you have to cook it to? What temperature to make sure the bug dies?
Hot, boiling hot. As you like, anything, you know.
So someone who didn't, for example, heat the thing up thoroughly, cook it through, as it were, they might be vulnerable.
That's a possibility, precisely. Yeah. And maybe the dose was very high, because remember, I've had doses, everything in infections. Maybe there was some huge contamination of a certain set of meals, and sadly, someone didn't heat it up quite enough, maybe.
Well, the plant has now been completely sterilized, and they'll be back in production, I'm sure. But very concerning. And people should check out the batch numbers and so on that on the NSI website and make sure they don't have any in the larder.
Babies and older people, if your immune system isn't working properly, you can get a foothold. So babies and older people should keep an eye on this.
So
really,
for the rest of us, if we get
the vast majority,
you have diarrhea or something like that.
You feed a bit fluey, you might have the runs and you get over it. You know, there's not much of a concern for most people. It's just the more vulnerable as usual.
But then, meantime, you're spreading into the sewage system.
Well, that's the problem, exactly. You can spread it.
Okay, let's talk about the four-day week. Is there science behind this?
There is. Yes, this is a great way, I think. I've been looking at this for a few years now. Should we all move to a four-day week or not? And the data amasses, Pat, that this is a useful thing to do. And what's good about this study is it's in a journal called Nature Human Behaviour, a very reliable journal. So they're concluding a four-day week is much better for everybody, both the employee and, strangely, the employer, because the fear is you'd be less productive and so on. But this really sort of detailed study supports that we should all go to a four-day week.
Tell me about the study, how big it was and how comprehensive. And many countries, many people.
Yeah, they haven't, because the thing is, there have been previous studies anyway on this, and this is yet another one, you might say, but this one is especially interesting. It's 140 companies were chosen, somewhat randomly, in the US, the UK, Ireland was included, but I'm not sure what the companies were. Australia, that's good because it's a range of countries and cultural things would be evened out. It was a 6-month pilot. 3,000 employees were followed very closely and they all moved to a 4-day week. Very importantly, their wages weren't cut, because otherwise they might say, I'm not going to go to a 4-day week. So the wages were maintained. And then they studied these people for 6 months.
Did they have to do the same number of hours but over 4 days instead of doing, you know, 40 hours over 5 days, 8 hours a day? No,
it's an 8-hour day on average anyway.
They actually...
And remember, Pat, when we went to a 40-hour week, that was in the 1930s, remember. Before that, you did a 6-day week. So it's a bit arbitrary that you go from 6 to 5 anyway. And now the suggestion is to go from 5 to 4 and work whatever that would be in terms of numbers of hours a week, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so what is the information that came from this comprehensive study?
Well, of course, the employers will be the ones questioning this in a way. And there's a great phrase, Pat, I use, without data, you're just someone else with an opinion, right? Now, there's data to support what I'm going to tell you. Scientific data, really important. Productivity wasn't affected, is the first thing. In fact, it went up in some of these companies, but isn't that strange when they moved to a 4-day week? Revenue went up a little bit in some of the companies as well, and that was a surprise. Yeah. So if all your workers are now working 4 days instead of 5, you don't increase the number of employees, and yet, you know, productivity and the revenue levels went up. And then, of course, as important, the employees were happier, of course.
Of course, why
not? Can you imagine? Yeah, but less burnout, Pat, and burnout, as you know, is the plague of our times, you know, less stress, you know. The big thing was they were asked, what did you do with your spare day off, right? They'd go to a doctor maybe for their health. They might do housework. They would do a hobby. They'd more freedom in their lives, and that gave them a sense of empowerment. So overall, the employees were all very happy as well, which is very important. And so the bottom line is, of course, this seems to be working. And one big reason, Pat, I love is, the a few lines to support this: axe unnecessary meetings. Now, there's a thing we learn. A lot of time in work,
you could be doing that anyway, couldn't you?
You're going to unnecessary meetings, you know, and then it's a waste of time because it doesn't help anybody, you know. So they got more efficient in the 4 days. They could do the job of 5 days and four by being more efficient was the overall idea. And
all of us kind of know that in our bones, that there are ways that if you're really motivated, you could do something much more effectively and quickly.
There's a law, isn't there? It's a Parkinson's law. A task will expand to fit the time allocated to
exactly.
it. And that's probably true. And this certainly shows this is the case. So I think it's a matter more of workers' rights in a way. You know, giving people in the workplace more freedom, I guess, is one thing that's coming out of it.
Now, one of the findings is that there's more loyalty to the company. And I'm not surprised if I'm going to work 4 days for this
same
company
pay.
And I go to someone else, I'm going to have to work five.
Well, but you've got to remember, and I think of this in my own lab, the people working for me aren't automatons. They're human beings. They aren't robots. They aren't turning up and going home after doing a certain amount of work, you know. So there's emotions involved in this, and loyalty becomes more and more important. And as you know, with the dreaded working from home issue, if you're given the option, maybe you'll stay with that company. And they showed this. The second part, the benefit as well, was less sick days. That was shown in this study as well. And that's good as well, because then the employer might have to pay for that healthcare, you know, and then the person themselves aren't getting sick. So again, that was a big benefit that came out of this that was confirmed as well.
Now, this is what you would call the post-pandemic bonus.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thing that people are talking about more and more. Now, even though it seems the pandemic was a long time ago, we're still living with the consequences of it. And there's more and more evidence for this emerging. And the authors of this study say the pandemic made people realize, I want to live as full a life as possible. In other words, lifestyle changes began to happen. And many people went, well, look, if I'm offered a 4 day week instead of a five, I might go for that. Because during the pandemic, I realized I was working too hard or I had different priorities, you know. So they're calling this what employees want kind of thing as on the back of the pandemic. And that's where the working from home thing is coming from as well.
Even though it's being retrenched now, AIB being the latest.
It is being retrenched.
Company. But it's only being retrenched to 3 days a week.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, a good mix makes sense here, doesn't it? Mm. And of course, what the authors conclude is that let's not waste the pandemic. In other words, have we learned anything from the pandemic?
Yeah.
It could be let people lead as full a life as possible, and that might, and they want
more
to live a full life.
People are better employees,
and they're more productive in the workplace as well. And of course, the big fear of big companies, Pat, is people leaving and going to work for your rival, right? And that's what the working from home issue is. Part is evidence for this. If you offer an employee, a very effective staff member, a 4 day week, they might choose you over a rival. And again, it could be an incentive then to go to work for a particular company.
Finally, I should ask you. You know, Tony Holohan, that we spoke so much about during COVID, he may be running for the presidency.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, why not Luke O'Neill?
Absolutely.
Luke O'Neill.
I don't mean it. I don't know.
The idea of having a president who's enthused about science, as distinct from our other friend.
I have no interest, Pat, but I get it. I mean, wouldn't it be great if our country had a scientist as president? Wouldn't that be the evidence we're looking for? Ireland's moved on from that dark past? You know, so Tony would be the man, given that he's a physician. He's a scientist as well.
Mm. I was just thinking that you don't drive, but you'd have the car at your disposal.
I would have the car. That's the reason to do it.
Luke O'Neill, currently Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin. Who knows what lies ahead? Luke, thank you very much for joining us. That's
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.